This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Nau mai hoki mai ki te hōtaka reo irirangi nei, ko kia matāra kaimahi mā. Welcome back to this radio show, Calling All Workers, on Manawatu People's Radio. Calling All Workers is the radio show of Unions Manawatu, the local affiliate council of the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions. Unions Manawatu is made up of members, delegates and officials from NZCTU affiliated unions, such as First Union, Unite, ETU, NZNO, the PSA, PPTA, NZDI, TEU, TaxPro and more. Calling All Workers is a weekly show and airs every Tuesday and Sunday at 4pm. You can listen to the show anytime on npr.nz or on your streaming or podcasting platforms of choice, such as iTunes, Spotify and Podbean. It helps with the show's reach and all the inbuilt algorithmic throttling if you subscribe to the show and give us a rating. If you'd like to comment on anything you've heard on Calling All Workers, you can find Unions Manawatu on Facebook and Instagram, or you can email us at callingallworkers@gmail.com. You can also find Unions Manawatu on Mastodon now, the Fediverse, the decentralized social media platform. We are on the instance union.place. You know, search Unions Manawatu, you'll find us. Please give us a follow on Facey or Insta and Mastodon, and share our posts where you can. Again, because of the algorithmic stranglehold on these platforms, we get nowhere without your engagement, my comrades. My usual disclaimer here, but anything I say over the next 25 minutes or so are my opinions only, and not the official position of ETU, Unions Manawatu, or the NZCTU. E mihi ana ki ngā mātua tūturu, ko rangi nui e tūnei, ko papatua anuku e takoto nei. Ā, ngā mihi nunui ki te mana whenua o te papaioia, tini whetū ki te rangi, ko rangi tāne ki te whenua.
Kia ora koutou, welcome to another episode of Calling All Workers. We're doing another episode of our awesome organiser origin stories, talking about the superheroes in our movement. Today we are joined by the esteemed Sandra Gray, outgoing TU National Secretary, incoming CTU President. Very excited, and Unions Manawatu here, because now she's in our patch and we've got a direct line to power to be like, oi, come on, do some things. Sandra, if you want to just introduce yourself to the listeners out there who have been living under a rock.
Absolutely. Kia ora all, and thanks for coming and spending some time with me, Andy. It's really interesting to think about these questions and to think about the origins. And you're right, you know, resident of the mighty Hora Whenua from Foxton, been here for about 4 years. Love it. Love the fact that I can get across and be part of the action with Unions and Manawatu, but also, of course, to all those that I've been part of with UCOL and Massey. It's great being in this area. We're mighty and we're definitely very active as a community. So I'm looking forward to spending some of my days not heading to Wellington, but spending some of my days here standing up for what's right and what's proper.
Kia ora, kia ora. So you've been here in Foxton for 4 years. Where were you beforehand?
Yeah, well, my journey, and I was reflecting and thinking about how do you end up with the presidency of the Council of Trade Unions. I grew up in a very small community, not unlike, actually, Foxton. It was about 4,000 residents. It's southwest of Auckland. It's called Waiuku. My parents, really, they were self-employed. My mother was a music teacher. My dad, a boat builder. Amazing people. Never, ever, ever told me about unions. I had no idea that these things existed when I was a child, but at 17 I became a journalist. And to get your press pass, you had to join the union, because it was 1987 and they were still closed shops in some cases. Yeah. I just assumed everybody was in unions. Later in life I found out, that my mum is a National Party supporter, and staunchly so, and my dad hadn't had the greatest experience of compulsory unionism, I am going to say, and that he was a carpenter for some of his time when I was a kid, and had some issues around how they ran that union. So, you wonder, how do you end up then becoming someone who's involved in social movements and social justice? And I said to someone, I think it came very early for me. And I think a lot of us can identify very early moments where I just thought the world wasn't fair. And actually one of them was schooling, where I watched both students and staff be quite nasty to two young disabled women in my class. And I found that really harsh, and I didn't know why people were picking on them. I didn't understand why you would not look after the most vulnerable in your community, why you wouldn't wrap your arms around them and just welcome them in. And it is weird. I'm thinking, why did I think that? Well, my mum took us singing when we were kids out publicly, and quite a lot of that was with what was then known as the IHC. So we went and sang for communities where they were intellectual, but also we went into Kingsett to a mental health space.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so as a kid I was exposed to this wide variety of people, and I just went, that's our community. Let's accept it. So I think very early on I recognised the world can be quite cruel, and it shouldn't be, and that we all have a part to play in welcoming just whoever comes past us into our place, our space. Early working life too, I am going to say. There is a moment where you go in your early working life. I was a journalist when the Employment Contracts Act came in. We went from great collective agreements that were national awards to individual collective agreements, and I found out I was being paid $5,000 less than the men who at the same level as me, and I went into my boss to ask him why. I was all of 19 years old at the time, I think, 20, and I was like baffled that I was being paid less, and he said, well, you're going to go away and have kids, so there's no point in us investing in you. And at that moment in life I went, I cannot see why that would be the case. Yeah. I'm doing the work. It was just such a horrific kind of statement, and I went, wow, this workplace is so gendered. And I never thought about it until that moment when I directly kind of had it thrown at me.
Yeah, it's a big slap in the face.
A huge slap in the face. So so from there I actually went off and ran my own businesses for a while, and then came back to university. And the reason I went to university was I need to understand why the world doesn't look after the disabled, why the world doesn't look after workers, why the world treats women differently. I don't get it. I don't like it. Give me the tools.
Yeah.
Give me the tools to say, oh, now I understand. It's the structure of the world we live in. It is that, you know, we have a system where the wealthy get wealthier and the poor get poorer, and we have a system and where those with power do not want to give it up. So we have to unionize.
You know, you started life as a journalist. You were forced to be a part of the union, essentially, in those days, the glory days of compulsory unionism. How did you then become like a union official, like go through your delegacy and all that kind of thing? And where did that start? Was that in journalism or?
No, I was a shop floor delegate, and I did do negotiations when I was 19, 20 as a member in the negotiating team with our employer at different times. But I got to the Association of University Staff, the predecessor to the TEU. In 2003, I joined Te Heringa Waka, Victoria University of Wellington, joined the union on a fixed-term contract. And I knew then that all I had studied, because I studied social movements, I studied women in parliament, I wanted to get involved, I knew that. I'd been a student activist. I knew I wanted to get into the union. But as a fixed-term worker, it's quite scary to do that directly against your own employer.
Oh, yeah.
So someone shoulder-tapped me and said, why don't you join the National Status of Women's Committee? And I thought, wow, that's kind of better, because I'm not directly going eyeball to eyeball with an employer who holds my future in their hands. I'm actually just talking about the whole of the tertiary education sector. Surely they can't take any issue with that. So went into the national level of the union.
Oh, wow.
And found that really rewarding, because it triggered the big political questions. I often talk to members about this, because lots of people go, oh, but yet being in a union isn't political. The very act of joining a union is really political, because what you're saying is, I don't agree with how things are currently working, and I want to have some way of influencing and changing. Oh, and the way I can do it is join those 10,000 other workers and make a difference and join in. So I like the idea that we were tackling particularly big questions around public education and access to education, because I loved being a student at university. Yeah. I loved how it transformed my thinking, my life, the way I saw the world. And I just want everyone to have the same experience in education, whatever education they do, where it just opens up your world and opens up your heart and opens up your ears and teaches you to think critically, to question everything in front of you, everything. So I just wanted to be part of the action that was arguing for open and accessible education. And that's interesting because, you know, some of our unions, PBTA, NZNO, you know, PSA, TU, I mean, lots of them have a professional as well as an industrial arm, and it was really that professional calling of public tertiary education that got me really active in our union. Got elected as the Vice President of Women, first one for TEU when we merged, and then as the President of the union. So spent time, 6 of 8 years, working as the President of the union full-time. Loved it, loved the joy of standing with those 10,000 people who just did not give up on public tertiary education. Then took on the comms role in our union before becoming the National Secretary. So I came through a route which was member lead, albeit a full-time role, because we do have a full-time paid presidency. We have now co-presidents, but at that time it was a full-time role. So not through the organising route, which is the way many people come into leadership roles. Really loved it. I mean, I just love the fact that you walk into a room, and I know many union officials get this and members get this, you walk into a room after a really hard day at, you know, Victoria University with a whole lot of people who you think they just don't get it, and you find your tūranga waiwai, your heart, your home, your place. And you go, oh, thank God there are people who think like me. I'm not alone in my thinking that this is just wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not alone in thinking that every worker deserves a living wage. I'm not alone thinking that gender pay equity is not a weird thing. It's just the right thing. So I think that in and of itself, I often said I only stayed at Victoria University of Wellington for as long as I did because of the TEU membership, because I found people like me in the membership who I could, you know, my heart sang when I was with them, as opposed to a place which is corporatized, individualized, monetized, where it's not about education, it's about how many more bums on seats we can we get, and how many more international academics can we get so we can get more bums on seats, so we can get more money, so we can get more. And to find people who didn't think like that and just go, yeah, this is my place. And I think that's the thing with the union movement. If people just tried, if they walk through the door of a union meeting, they'll probably go, oh, this is a place where my heart and my cup is filled up.
Yeah.
We're in a place where we have to start talking fundamental change in New Zealand to our economy, to the way our education system runs, to our health system, how our tax system runs. And we have to start having those hard conversations. And people quite often shy away from them. We can be a little bit around the houses as a population, but actually, what do we really want? Why do we want a university sector? What is its purpose? It's to make New Zealand, make Aotearoa a really great place to live. Well, that will include international students, but in what form?
Yeah. And, I mean, this kind of gets back to your point before about, you know, when people worry about, oh, you know, unions shouldn't really be political. What better way to have an impact on your workplace, your working conditions, but also on the future of the work that you're in than through your union? You know, you can't go up to like some government ministry as an individual and have any kind of sway, right? And yes, we have, you know, electoral cycles where you bring in a new group of people every 3 years and maybe they'll listen to us, maybe they won't, who knows, but at least through other channels, you can build that democratic movement and you can have that influence and say, you know what, actually, as teachers, as educators, we're going to get together and we're going to say, we can't educate people properly that way. And other unions can join in with us as well and say, well, actually, our workforce kind of needs these skills, so can we band together and design an education system that brings us through? And, you know, it's a way of actually having that kind of another democratic avenue for people to have a say over how New Zealand is run. Otherwise, it's just business owners.
And that thing of finding a space where you can, A, learn to talk about stuff, be safe to share your ideas and just say, I don't think it's right that we've got kids at our school that have no food. And I don't think it's good for them, is it? And, you know, if you're a worker who works in a factory and you want to figure it out with someone, well, there might be a teacher around the table at the union event, and they can say, well, actually, children don't learn on an empty belly. And then you go, well, why are children turning up to school without food? Mm. What's going on? So together you can work out, you can ask the question safely, and then you can work out, well, together, you're right, if we walk in and we say now to this community group or this group of leaders, these local government leaders, these heads at the Ministry of Education, these people who are operating these moments in Treasury, and there's this consultation, select committees, our chance to say what we want to politicians, you can learn to make the argument. You can learn to say what you need to say, and you can learn how to bring others in and stand alongside of you. And, you know, we are absolutely only strong because we do it together.
Yeah.
Because we can influence the big P political. We can influence Parliament if they think there are enough of us who care about an issue.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to remember. When many of us stand up, governments do have to pay attention. Even right-wing governments are going to have to pay attention if enough of us say no.
Yeah.
We are saying no. We want the direction of our country to go in a different way. We want people to have access to healthcare. We do not want an American-style hospital system where if you have no insurance, you get turned away and die. Mm. New Zealanders don't want that. You know, New Zealanders don't want that national, you can never go there.
Yeah.
So I think there is that real thing of how do we spend time together as workers and see actually we have a whole lot of things that we all care about deeply. And I know, I mean, we're both in education, and a lot of people say, oh, you know, I don't have any issue that I'm really, really wedded to or any political issues really. And I said, what about your children's access to education? And most people, or your grandchildren's or your nieces and nephews, they most people go, oh, of course I want them to have access to education. I said, well, that's actually a political statement.
Yep.
You're saying something political here because you want a system where everyone can participate. That's not how all systems work. Mm. In some systems, if you have no money, you don't get your education. So we need to actually be honest about what we mean by political. We just mean, what is it that we want to see Aotearoa doing?
Yeah.
What do we want to do together? How do we want to share our resources so that we make sure we look after the vulnerable, we make sure that no one falls over the cliff and is harmed? And actually, I think we're much more aspirational than that. And I think we want all workers to have good lives where they can set their destination and go, I want to do this, and then find the means to get there with the support they need. I don't know that we are just the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff anymore. I think people are looking at Aotearoa and going, I want a world where we look after this planet, where every child has their belly full. I want a New Zealand where everyone gets to have a simple holiday every year, gets to have those occasional outings with their family members that can get the medical treatment they need when they need it and not have to delay it, that people can get the support they need. So if they are having issues in the classroom as kids, they get the support so they flourish, not so they wither in a corner.
Yeah.
And I do think we're aspirational as a movement. We know where we want to go, a good world where workers and their families are thriving. The one and only way we get there is being stronger, bolder, linking arms much more tightly, knowing that we've got each other's backs and every day standing up in our workplaces together. And, you know, we talked about it before. There is something joyous about, you know, those memories. When you say those things, people invoke the times when they have been on a picket line or a rally and they are linked arms with their colleagues and they do know that they've got the strength.
Yeah.
And they feel ready to be hopeful. We've got lots to be angry about at the moment. I mean, I know that.
Just a few things.
We were just talking about the taking, you know, over 4,000 young people off benefits. Mm. That makes me really angry, because what you're doing to those young people is taking away all hope. Because what you're going to do is you're going to say, well, you've got a couple of choices now. Either you know, go and live back with your parents and take money off your parents, which in some cases is not possible. Their family income can't stretch to look after the young person. Two, as is happening around the world, get really, really angry and join some fascist movement, you become a criminal and join gangs,
yep.
or you commit suicide. And this government is actually saying to those young people, we don't actually think you're human because we're just going to cut off all human options for you and make you suffer. And we should all be really, really wild about that.
Not just wild about it, I think, but actively disgusted by it. To like yes. to look at people who have just come through education, have no experience of the world, have no idea where to go to even, quote unquote, lift themselves up by their bootstraps, no networks, no connections, to then go, cool, bro, figure it out. Yeah. No job for you to go to, figure something out.
There are no jobs.
Yeah.
There are no vocational education spaces, or hardly any, because that's been screwed over by this government. And like I say, what makes me mad about that is the big thing humans have always, or should always have, is hope. The hope that, you know, I will reach my destination and I will get support to get there is the important part. I mean, you look at other populations where the government is acting in an inhumane way towards our communities. And I think that's what people have got to look at and go, well, that might not have affected me directly because I might not be a parent of one of those 4,300 young people. But what did affect me directly is the doctor's fees going up, because now I've decided to delay a couple of things I needed to probably get seen, but I won't because it's a bit expensive. Or it directly affected my parents. The government has done something that's made energy costs too high, and my mum and dad are turning off their heating all the time because...
And now they've got pneumonia.
Yeah. So you've got to, you've got to actually take a moment and go, what they're doing is directly affecting you every day because it's making Aotearoa a worse place to live.
Yeah.
And at some point that will bite all of us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we need to tell them, we've got to stop. We've got to stop this agenda. We've got to stop the agenda that says money, 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 money. And we need an agenda that says the people, the people, the people. It's not that money in and of itself is the problem. It's how you spend the money that matters. If a company makes profit and raises the wages of all the workers, and all those workers get to have a holiday that year and a better life and can put their kids into after-school activities because they can afford it. I mean, you know, I remember that's how bad it is for some families. I had one of our members talk to me about the fact that her daughter wanted to play netball. And she said, I can't afford the $60 fee this season, so she can't play netball. So we've got a young woman being denied access to a New Zealand game, you know,
and I mean,
for want of $60.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, there are so many avenues to success for people. Some people are academic. Some people are skilled, like, with their hand. Some people are sports people. So you limit that kid's opportunity to discover if they're good at sports and make a career that way. What kind of quality of life are you
in? And this is the thing, I guess, you know, when I look at my world around me and I go, but why? Why would you take actions which have harmed thousands, tens of thousands of workers?
Mm.
Why would you take an action that harms tens of thousands of workers who have now lost their jobs because this government is underinvesting in every public service and everywhere there are shortages of staffing, which means that citizens can't get what they need, but also local businesses are collapsing because there's a whole lot of people who are unemployed and won't spend money. So you are collapsing the whole economy. Why are you doing it? And I mean, I know that they would say we're doing it to recover the economy, but they're failing on their own terms. They are collapsing our economy for an ideological drive that makes no sense. So but that's what we believe in, you know.
Yeah, we just feel this is going to
work. And if we just go further,
yeah.
If we just go further, it will be better. It won't be better. Further means more people will be thrown on the scrap heap. We all have to start saying that. Going deeper means thousands more people breached off benefits. People with disabilities will be breached off benefits. They won't get the support they need. Further means tens of thousands more people on the unemployment lines. Further means more and more people turning to crime because they can't get a job and they can't get a benefit. This is what we've got to admit. This agenda goes one way only, and it is that a very small number of people will be very rich at the end of this, and the rest of us will be fighting for the crumbs from the table.
What do you want the union movement to look like?
In 10 years' time, the thing that I would really love to see, and in history this has been delivered, is 100,000 people on the steps of Parliament saying, I'm proud to be union, I'm proud to be a worker, and workers deserve the very best.
Mm.
from the world they work in. Part of what we are is not just about getting better wages. Of course, that's really, really important. But it's about making sure every one of us feels we can have a say in our future.
Mm.
Every one of us feels we have some skills, talents, and some drive to change our future and change the future of Aotearoa. And, you know, Toi Tu Tiriti delivered that last year to Parliament. We all stood up and said Aotearoa is going to be different. It is different, the vision of National. We are not going to let the National Party determine that we will be divided. We will not let them take away Te Tiriti o Waitangi. We will stand strong. And I think that taught us power and strength in a way that we need to keep saying. So one, that we just turn up. And like I say, you look at photos of history of the trade union movement, we did fill Parliament grounds once upon a time. And people were so proud to exercise their collective power and to look after each other, to link arms, to be really, you know, really, really powerful and strong and say, this will be a workers' paradise.
Mm.
The other part to that is that we have an economy, because we choose what the economy looks like.
Yeah.
It is not some abstract thing. It is not out there. You know, we decide in our own families where we're going to put the money. You know, we're going to put a bit of money to this, we're going to put a money. And sometimes we sacrifice some staples in the pantry for an evening out with our kids or our parents or our friends because we want bread and roses.
Yeah.
We do that balancing act. Well, as a country, let's choose this. No child poverty. Everyone having access to education and health and everyone having warm, dry homes that they can afford to live in. Because if we can change the economy and make it focus on the people, then we will have a more united, more giving, more peaceful place to live. Mm. And, you know, they talked in history about this being God's own. It's got to be the people's space, the people's country. Aotearoa
People's Republic of Aotearoa.
It is. It is it's a beautiful place to live. I mean, we are very lucky. You travel the world and you realise how beautiful this nation is. And I don't think it's just unionists that care. And I think it's because there's a whole lot of people who really should join unions to have some power over this. But many of us are embarrassed about the number of people living in cars who actually have jobs.
Yeah.
We're embarrassed that we have one of the worst child poverty rates in the OECD. And it's getting worse. We don't want that. We have the ability to have an economy that looks after every single person in New Zealand and does our bit internationally as well. We have the space to do that. We have the will to do it. So we just have to get more of us turning up, joining a union, being part of your union and actually taking action. Because it's not a passive thing being part of a union. It has to include I'm prepared to turn up. I'd definitely say, you know, over the coming months as we see more and more people standing up and saying this government is doing the wrong thing for everyone, we need everyone, not just union members, turning up at events. We need those who have retired and remember that, but also are beneficiaries of a better form of economy because it's something set up during social democratic consensus.
Yeah.
Let's start saying all together. So young kids should be there. Everyone who's retired should be there saying, I want a better future for my grandchildren. I want them to have access to things that will mean they have a good life. Because we can turn it around. We can convince our politicians, maybe not the National Party, convince others to pick up a better vision of the world to support us and all New Zealanders, and I know already there are small business owners who are starting to go, we're doing the worst thing we could. This is not good for us. It's not good for our workers. It's not good for our society. So I know we're not alone even as workers now, but if you're in a job, your only space to go is to find those people who care like you do and actually care not just for today but for tomorrow and for every generation after that. Because honestly, I don't know how people do it walking past some of the poverty and deprivation we see in New Zealand now and it not making you want to cry.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me today, Sandra. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Calling All Workers. Thank you to Unions Manawatū and to Manawatū People's Radio for helping these things. Thank you so much for your time today, Sandra, and we look forward to seeing a lot more of you in the coming months as we continue to rabble-rouse against the terrible bloody government that they are. Can't keep the anō. Solidarity for him.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.